and West Des Moines.
For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
And Ken Miller, we are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. Michael Swain coming up here in about 20. I couldn't find the kill switch.
It got you.
It did. It came quickly.
We're about 30 minutes, 35 minutes away. We got a lot of college football.
Indeed we do.
To recap, and that music means it's our man.
It's Bama Bob. Sorry about that, audience. I apologize. Bama, did I get any on you? I got to punch you up
there
here.
He is.
Bama, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I had a mask on, so I'm good.
Okay, my apologies. Another crazy weekend comes and goes. Before we get into the conferences, just your overall kind of view of what we witnessed this weekend.
Yeah, this was there's a couple things. I thought kind of Georgia, we didn't really expect much because they really weren't playing a tough opponent. Ohio State really looks like, to me right now, the only team that can challenge Georgia. And I know a lot of that can change. Alabama guys are still struggling. I know Arkansas is good, but you start looking at, they're a little bit limited, and Alabama just cannot run the football. Even though they've got an excellent back. Bryce Young throws for 561 yards and 5 scores, and it's still a 4-quarter game for them. So, which I don't know if that elevates him or not, but Stroud right now, Ohio State really looks strong. Michigan, I got to give him credit.
Yeah, me too.
Really nice win over Maryland. I talked about that on Friday. This is one of these kind of classic Harbaugh games. But, look, they'll get their shot. They get their shot, when is it, Saturday, I guess, in Ann Arbor. And this is one of those, man, look, if you're Harbaugh, you've got to win this game. Everybody's been doubting you all year, and now you got a chance to go probably, at least clinch the East and maybe a playoff spot with it if you can finish it out. Pac-12, we'll see you later.
Yep,
that was
done.
Just an embarrassing
five straight years now, I think, no playoff for the Pac-12. Yeesh. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, and just an embarrassing performance by Oregon. And really the news down here, in the Southeast is the Florida opening. We all kind of thought it was coming. Dan Mullen just doesn't get it. I mean, I don't understand. I think it's more his attitude and his reaction. You're starting to see a lot of stories now that he doesn't really put in as much effort on the recruiting trail. I mean, he's kind of mentioned it a little bit. We'll worry about recruiting when the season's over. Well, okay, look where that got you. But just another really kind of bad performance at Missouri. So, to me, that's when you have LSU, Florida, and USC open. I mean, those are three just really high-profile jobs, and it's going to be – and then there's going to be a lot – probably a few others come open because of those. Whoever gets those is probably going to leave somewhere else. So, it's going to be interesting. But, man, what a crazy weekend. Cincinnati finally looks like Cincinnati. Against a decent SMU team. I didn't like SMU. I think I said that Friday. I didn't like them. I didn't think they were as highly rated as they should have been. But I guess Cincinnati probably going to be number 4 now. And then it looks like it may be, if everybody wins out, it's going to be Alabama, Georgia. We know that's the SEC championship game. You've got Ohio State, Michigan, probably for the East. And a potential playoff spot. And then if that – the Big Ten is now fascinating, guys, because whoever wins the East, if they lose, what do we do? Who gets in?
Crappy Notre Dame.
Crappy Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think it has to be. Yeah.
How about Oklahoma State? Are they
– They're fine. They run the table.
They're
in.
Too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that, because right now as it stands, I don't think Alabama can beat Georgia. So that's going to take them out of the equation.
Yeah, we'll see.
If the Big Ten East loses the Big Ten championship game, does that take the Big Ten totally out and put Cincinnati in? You mentioned Notre Dame, Oklahoma State. Could we have Georgia, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma State in the playoff this year? Could happen.
Oof. Yeah. Blowout city in the semifinals.
Yeah, no, that, I don't want to see that. Well, no. let's go around the conferences. I'll save the ACC. Trent, we'll start in the Big 12. Thank Oklahoma goodness. State blank and Texas Tech. I mean, that's eye-opening. Texas Tech, you saw what they did mm-hmm. against what we thought is a pretty good Iowa State defense the week before. Oklahoma State just took them completely out of the game. The quarterback had no chance.
No chance at all. Oklahoma State is trending the right direction. We know the record, of course, of Gundy in the matchup in Bedlam. What is he? Two wins, I know, is what he has. I can't remember the total number of games. But regardless, they're trending the right way. They're playing the way that you want to be playing at this point. Spencer Sanders continues to do just enough. They're the class of this league. Still got to finish the job. Mm-hmm. Not going to be easy by any means, but the gap between Oklahoma State and everybody else right now, pretty significant in the Big 12.
Yeah. Anything else in the Big 12 catch your eye, Trent?
We talked about the Iowa State game. Obviously not.
Yeah.
I was rooting for Kansas to get another win.
And they almost did.
They were right there and had another opportunity to make it back-to-back weeks. And I continue to wonder, now Max Duggan was back out there. What's his future like at TCU? Mm.
You know, let me ask both of you guys this. When we were talking about Iowa State earlier in the show, I thought Matt Campbell made a mistake, or Manning, whoever it was, spiking the ball on first down. You know, you give away one. It was incomplete, and then hair on fire. You have to make a play, and it was picked off at the end. But with 35 seconds left, you got time. And they threw that what was fourth down. That final offensive play of the game, there were still 15 seconds on the clock mm-hmm. for which Oklahoma had to come back on the field and kneel down. Am I making too much of this? I thought that's a big mistake, Trent.
No, I think you make sense, and I kind of thought the same thing, too. That's one of those where it's down to, you know, inside of 25 seconds. Sure, you do that. You just got to get up there. You got to stop the clock any way possible. But guess Xavier Hutchinson. I mean, you can't throw one
and
up to
35
him.
Seconds, and they wasted a down. So instead of having three downs to score, or four downs to score, he had three. I thought that was a mistake.
Nervous about the offensive line protecting?
Nah, maybe something. Did that give it up a sack?
Yeah.
Anyways, Bama, your thought, takeaways on the Big 12, Bama?
Yeah, I thought I'm with you a little bit on the Iowa State, the killing it on first down. That's always a tough call when you get down, you know, you're, what, at the 25, whatever it was, 20-yard line. It was certainly within shot of the end zone.
Yep. I think the
fear is there if you complete one underneath, guy gets tackled in bounds, now you got to scramble again, and, you know, maybe you're down to those 12 or 15 seconds or whatever it is. But you're right, it is a wasted down. You always worry about, too, how many times you see it, you know, when you try to line up and run a play real quick, you know, guys aren't they jump or false start or whatever, but it's a tough call.
Yep.
But you're Oklahoma State. You're absolutely 100% correct. That is the right now. They're the best team in the Big 12, bar none. And this is it. Look, you're going to get Oklahoma twice. It looks like.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they own the tiebreak over Baylor. So. I don't know how Baylor can catch them. Is that? I mean, am I right on that?
No. Well, Baylor's got two losses, and Baylor picked them off.
They'd have the head-to-head.
You're right. They would have the head-to-head. I'm looking at the wrong stats. Yeah. So this is a big game for Oklahoma, then, obviously. But look, Oklahoma State, it's right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is right there. You've got the game in Stillwater.
Right.
And I mean, if you want it, go take it. So I guess is basically what I'm getting to. And we've talked about Sanders. Is he done just enough? He has, but you're right. Shutting out Texas Tech in Lubbock, that says a lot about that defense, and that's something that has been Oklahoma's problem. I'm like you, Ken. I was really, really rooting for Kansas to win that game because if they had, they would have been tied with Texas at the bottom of the
game. You know, let me stop both of you guys right here because I thought you were my friends. I really did. I enjoy working with Trent as much as I've enjoyed working with anybody. Bama, you and I have known each other for 20 years. Why didn't you stop me?
I tried. I was laughing at you. I was giving you so much crap. Texas? That's how you were under the week last week with Texas?
Yeah.
And you didn't listen.
No, I didn't listen.
It was locked. It was in the notebook, and it was over.
Yeah. You're right, Bam. I mean, Texas and Kansas could have been. Yeesh.
Yeah, and Texas, they can't go to a bowl game. They're done.
Isn't that wild? That's absolutely
great.
This is a team that really could use a ball game.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they, I don't care what ball, I don't care what, you know, who plays, who doesn't, whatever. This is a team that could use the extra couple of weeks on the field, and they're not going to get it because once your season's over, you can't practice anymore. Mm-hmm. So this was a real bad loss for them in a season that has just been an abject disaster for the Longhorns.
I'll say. Trent, the Big Ten, more impressed with Ohio State or Michigan this past weekend?
Definitely Ohio State, because I didn't watch much the Michigan-Maryland game, to be honest. It was 49-0. Yeah. And Michigan State, yes, they were overrated, and they're not as good as maybe the record says they are. But 49-0
at the half. That's CJ Stroud something, isn't he?
They played anybody in the country, including Georgia last week, and Ohio State would have beat them.
I think so, too.
I don't know if that's going to play out when we get to January, but on that Saturday, there was nobody. I don't know if an all-star team could have beat them. Mm. They were playing at that kind of level. And get down early, it's 14-0 in a blink of an eye. Can't give it to Kenneth Walker, and 49-0. Just amazing.
Yeah, Bama in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ohio State as well. I'm not going to say that Georgia wouldn't have beat them last week. Georgia hasn't been challenged. I think that's one of the big issues right now. They haven't seen an offense like Ohio State could throw at them. But likewise, there's no defense in the Big Ten that Ohio State could face. I think right now the way it's trending, that is the game we're going to see. I will be surprised. I'll be stunned if Ohio State's not 2 this week. They have to be.
Yeah.
And I think Alabama 3rd and I guess Cincinnati 4th, maybe move Michigan up. I'm not sure. It really doesn't matter because those two are going to play next week. But you know, good win for Wisconsin. Again, Nebraska keeps playing.
It's unbelievable.
They just cannot win. And that Wisconsin team, I know Ohio State is getting all the love right now, and as well they should. I mean, that's just not a team I don't think you're going to want to have to beat coming off the Michigan game, because you're going to give everything you have against Michigan. I mean, I think it's going to take that to win that game. I think Ohio State will win that game. And then it's just you're looking across and it's like, okay, well, you know, I don't know. I just think that's going to be a tough nut. But I don't know what's going to happen with Frost, but kudos to that team this year because they are – that defense especially, they've never quit on him.
No.
I don't know if that's going to get him another year. I don't know if it should get him another year.
No, it is. They've already said he's coming back, so he's in.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, I guess. But I don't know how – I don't know. I don't know who else you're going to get for that job. But – you got to give them credit because they played. That's a 3-8 team going nowhere. They haven't been going anywhere for a while, and good on them. Illinois, I thought, again, played hard, played up to as well as they can play right now. But I think that's a team next year. I will be surprised if they're not in a bowl game. Penn State, I don't know where. I think James Franklin's going to be in the mix for one of these guys' jobs, and I think it may be Florida. I think there's a lot of push for him to take that Florida job. He's from, you know, he won at Vanderbilt for 3 years. He kind of knows the area. He's got the kind of offense, and he looks like more of a coach than Dan Mullen does. I know they've had kind of a down year this year, but is he ready to make a change? I think Florida's going to make a big run at him. But, you know, look, it all sets up. We talked about it all year. All the, you know, Iowa's been ranked number 2. Michigan State has been ranked, what, 2 or 3 or whatever it was, and after the win against Michigan. And they've just had all this, you know, churn in the Big Ten. And here we are sitting, we're going to probably wind up with 2 versus 5, 2 versus 4 for the, you know, Ohio State and Michigan. And I'm glad this game matters. I really am. This is one of those games. Alabama-Auburn hasn't mattered for a while. USC-UCLA hasn't mattered in a long time. I'm really glad that this one, last game of the year, there's a lot on the line for it because it's only going to make the sport is better when this game matters. And, boy, man, it matters this year.
No doubt about it. And then the nightcap primetimer is Bedlam, which got a chance to be special as well. Speaking of special, boy, Utah, Trent, they took it to Oregon right from the jump. I thought Whittingham was rubbing it in a little bit at the end of the first half when he called timeout to force them to punt. That's why he's coaching, making millions, and I'm working with you. which is, I don't mean to sound that as not.
Jeez.
That's the only
reason. You're really fired up about us not taking Texas off the board for you.
That didn't come out well. But my point is they scored. They returned a punt for for his score. Utah, Trent, bye-bye Oregon, bye-bye Pac-12. Utah's a player.
And playing for the Rose Bowl now as they are locked in, of course, with the South Division title already wrapped up. And we could get a rematch, but the Beavers are still alive.
They are.
In the Civil War coming up this week. Washington now, State still
does
has
Washington
a
State have a path? They do, right?
They do. They
need they do.
Oregon State to beat Oregon, and they need to win themselves. Washington in the rivalry game, they would have the tiebreaker.
Beavers beat the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State wins.
Against Washington.
And
at
they
Washington,
should.
At Washington,
they're
though.
In.
But
and
they Wazoo at 7-5 would be in.
With
Oregon
what they
State
went through.
Needs Oregon State needs Washington to beat Washington State, and then they got to beat Oregon, and then they're in.
How about that?
Oregon just wins, and they're going to get the rematch with Utah. So,
and Friday night we get what do we get Friday night? Which is the game Friday night? Is it Washington Washington State?
That Friday night is Colorado Utah Washington State Washington.
Dang.
Those are the two on Friday. Civil War 2:30 on Saturday.
Okay, I'm in.
And I hope they wear the highlighter jerseys again, the orange versus the neon.
Yeah, how
yellow.
About speaking of jerseys, Bama, UCLA just crushed USC. That was embarrassing.
I don't know what's going on at USC. You know, guys, this kind of tells me, and I've been on it for, I've said it for a month now. I think Urban Meyer's going back.
Yeah,
I think they've got him in the pocket.
Yep.
I do too. I mean, I watched a lot of that not a lot. I mean, why would you watch Jacksonville if you don't have to? but just some of the decisions and the body language of that team. I mean, he's miserable. He is.
No chance he could go to Florida, right? I mean, that ship sailed.
No. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think there's a lot of people at Florida that would take him back.
Yeah.
There's just too much.
We quit on him.
They did. And he quit on them,
right.
I think is the bigger thing. Now, that's a new AD. It was Jeremy Foley there for, I don't know, almost 20 plus
Fair
years.
Fair point.
Strickland is there now. So, but and then there was a lot, too, with the off-the-field stuff, and Aaron Hernandez is still kind of an albatross around him. And, look, I mean, you can't blame him for anything Hernandez did later in life, but he gave him chance after chance after chance, and I think that's been proven. But I think that ship has sailed. There's a lot of people that would take him back, but I still think he's going to USC because, I mean, I'll put it this way. I can't see him coaching in the NFL next year. He looks miserable. He's on a crappy team. He knows that he is two or three years away from even contending for a playoff spot. And he, you know, 8-8 would be a great year, and that's probably not going to get you a playoff spot. And you know you're not going to win. I think he's too competitive for that. Losing just eats at him, and I think he's going to USC, and it's almost like they've got him in their back pocket, and they know it, so they don't care what happens right now. But it's that team is, and they've been worse since they fired Helton. But you know, good for Chip Kelly.
He needed it.
Yeah. But he's got to do something next year. I mean, that's another guy that's just, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, he kind of ripped it down to the studs, and okay, maybe he did, and now he's building it back up, but at some point, you got to start winning, and you start looking at where they are in those standings and how far they are. They're two games behind Utah. They're tied with Arizona State. That's not where you want to be if you're UCLA and you're paying a coach that much money. So, I'm fascinated by the North right now. I mean, I'm hoping for Washington State or Oregon State to get in that championship game. I just think it'd be great. Nobody would watch anyway. I'd love for the Beavers to get in. They have the tougher path. They need two teams to lose. I don't know. What a mess that conference is. Just an absolute mess. And Oregon, you've said it, and you know, you were proven right. Fraud at number 3, and man, did they go out with a whimper.
So, Bama, we're getting to the SEC here in a moment, just quickly, and connecting Ken's love of the ACC. Shane Beamer, he gets this crappy South Carolina team to a bowl
game.
What
a great win for him.
We talked about it. Of course, they had the grad transfer from Iowa State and North Dakota State that was starting games.
Mm-hmm.
Huge congratulations. Shane Beamer, of course, we know his dad.
Yep.
Virginia Tech's open. Is it a foregone conclusion? Is it... Well, you'd never leave an SEC program for an ACC. What's happening there? What's the scuttlebutt down in the South?
Well, the I watched a lot of that game.
I did too.
And the you know his statement officially is this is my destination job, South Carolina.
Yep.
he's talking about. He wants to build his own legacy. Now, he never came out and said, he's kind of like Jimbo Fisher. You know, he never came out and said, I'm not taking the Virginia Tech job. But it sounds like he wants to stay at South Carolina. He wants to make his own name, his own legacy. And I can get that a little bit. I mean, you know, to me, these are two jobs that are probably on par with one another. You know, Steve Spurrier won at South Carolina. So it's not impossible. A lot of talent in that state. The problem is a school that's probably, I don't know, 150 miles west of him right now is just a juggernaut in there. And I know they're having a down year, but I expect them to be back. I don't think Sweeney's going anywhere. And then, of course, you've got Georgia, and then whoever takes over at Florida. It's a tough nut to crack there in Columbia. But he said this is where he wants to be. We'll find out, you know, if that's true or not. Because I don't know that Virginia Tech's really going to be able to open up the bank for him. Which would, you know, if your heart's not really in it, then, you know, your wallet is. And I just don't know that they're going to be able to open up to $5.5-6 million to entice him out of.
Plus his buyout after 1 year has got to be pretty, I would think. I would think so, yeah.
Because he was, I don't know what it is, but it has to be pretty hefty, so.
I hope he stays. You got that team. That was a good win over Auburn. You saw the locker room afterwards, I'm sure, on social media. We got 3 minutes left, guys. Let's get to the SEC, and I do want to all of us go on records what we'll hear tomorrow night. Trent, SEC takeaway would be?
The end of the Missouri game. And
excuse me. I never saw it.
It was, again, I was on the radio of that one, and just the Missouri radio call was absolutely incredible there. Mullen, we know, of course, what
went
happened.
For two, and then we saw the press conference going back to last year, the force be with you or something, right?
Yeah, pulled that out, had the lightsaber. It was a fun moment there, and good for Mizzou to get that one. Bowl eligible now with that victory, and of course, here in the SEC, it's not exactly the easiest place to win. Missouri continues to do some pretty good things here. I think they got the right guy there.
Bama, minute on the SEC.
Yeah, Alabama's in. I think they're going to win the Iron Bowl, but right now they can't beat Georgia unless they can figure out a running game. And you never put anything past Saban and that coaching staff. But Arkansas, you know, just really bottled up the run. Not completely shut it down, but when your quarterback has to throw it, you know, for 559 yards, generally that's not the formula for Alabama. You have good. You know, good on Kentucky, 8-3. Mm-hmm. You know, got a shot at 9-3. Struck me watching. I flipped over just very briefly to the LSU game, and I know they were playing UL Monroe. Guys, there couldn't have been 25,000 fans in that stadium. I mean, it was just that's the worst thing that can happen.
And that was senior day in Baton Rouge. Yes, I'm assuming. Yeah, Jesus.
I think they get A&M at home, but I'm not sure about that. I know they have A&M this week, so I think that is. Yeah, they're at LSU, so they got one more game. Okay. But, I mean, just the apathy around that program right now is, I mean, it was awful. But other than that, we'll see what happens. You know, Iron Bowl this week, I don't think it'll be competitive. Alabama's a 3-touchdown favorite. I think I don't know that they'll cover that, but.
Well, save this for Wednesday. Yeah. Save this for Wednesday. Let's do our rankings before we have to go to break. Trent, who will the committee name as their top four tomorrow?
The top four is Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Michigan.
Oh, okay. A little bit of a curveball. Bama?
I think I'm going to go the exact same way. I think they're going to elevate Michigan. And, look, obviously we know it won't mean anything because in Cincinnati it'll be in, you know, all the whole Power Five thing will happen and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we know it won't mean anything because the two teams are going to play each other, but I think that's what it's going to be, too, and Cincinnati stays at 5.
The one thing to watch, does Oklahoma State leap Notre Dame as both those teams will move up?
Oh, that's a great point, Trent.
That's the thing that probably matters more than anything.
Yes, because that's a great point. I'll go Cincinnati 4 just to be different from you knuckleheads.
All right,
Michigan.
Longhorn.
What was I thinking? The Texas. I think I made my best bet of the week. Oh, Bama. Bama, we'll talk to you on Wednesday. We'll have a handful of. I got to do the Egg Bowl. That's kind of a fun game, you know. Because what's Thursday night? Buffalo Saints, right? Bill Saints.
Yes. Yep.
Give me the
Bill
Egg
Saints,
Bowl.
Yeah.
Give me the Egg Bowl.
Got college basketball that night. That's
where
I'll
football.
Be.
you do love it,
and hopefully nobody's simulating peeing on a goalpost.
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
That was the wildest ending to a game.
Crazy.
ever seen.
That was
oh, my goodness.
Bama, we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys. Enjoy it.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Bama Bob. Follow him on Twitter, at Bama Bob. Time for a timeout, Trent Condon. We'll come back. Michael Swain covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports. Mr. Monday Night's got to make his pick before we get out of here just before noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.
Path Forward.
The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with three metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best fresh, never frozen wings. Buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book. Right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800.
Do you remember the last walk-off homer to win the World Series? It's been a while, but the answer is 1993. Do you know when Wolf Roofing started roofing houses? That's right, 1993. Wolf Roofing has been around for a long time. For your next roofing project, put the experience of Wolf Roofing on your side. Find them on the web at wolfroofing.net or give them a call at 515-225-8866. Or online, Wolf...
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get right to our friend Michael Swain, Cyclone Alert 24/7 Sports. He joins us. Michael, Trent, and Ken, as always, thanks for doing this. You know, we early in the season thought the offensive line was starting to come together, and for the first time maybe in the Campbell era, really looked as though this was going to be a, well, more than a serviceable unit, but a unit that you know, maybe a little bit above average. Boy, giving up seven sacks against Oklahoma, teams have found a way to completely take Breece Hall, as far as the running game, for the most part, out of it, which is tough to do. He's as good as there is in the country. Offensive line, kind of an albatross on this Cyclones team, Michael. Do you see it that way?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's been maybe the most disappointing unit overall on the offensive side of the ball this season. You look at kind of what they returned, where you had seven guys that started games last year, and I think the big thing that happened was Jake Remsburg having the injury in the Big 12 title game, because obviously that's going to set him back, and he played a lot of right tackle, and now you've got Derek Schweiger playing right tackle, who, quite frankly, he's just not a tackle. And, you know, he's 6'4", he's a guard, and he's a really darn good guard, but he's just a mediocre tackle. And I think that overall now you've seen, I think Jared Hufford too is kind of more on that guard side. So you've got kind of five guards, and against a talented, athletic defensive line like Oklahoma, it's going to be tough for those guys to kind of hold their own without extra help from tight ends and chip blocks and things like that. So, you know, I thought Hufford probably had his worst game of the season so far, and after he kind of had a strong start. But, yeah, overall, I mean, what they allow, seven sacks, six additional pressures, and they had only allowed 12 sacks all season going into the game. So that unit just overall has really kind of held the offense back, I feel like, kind of here in recent weeks.
Charlie Kohler, what a performance as he makes a trip to Oklahoma for the final time. Absolutely tip of the ball cap to that young man. One thing as we kind of look forward, first of all, thoughts on Kohler and doing that in that environment. What does the future of the tight end position look like? Of course, him and Chase Allen will be departing after this year. Your thoughts of tight end going forward as well?
Yeah, definitely. So starting with Charlie Kohler, I mean, like you said, credit to him. That was a big-time baller performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, five catches on that final drive. Basically, him and Brock Purdy single-handedly dragged Iowa State down the field on the final drive. And I thought what Chase Allen said post-game about, you know, they were, Chase Allen was going to catch that touchdown and they were going to go to two to Charlie Kohler. And that would have been a great way for him to sign off in Norman. As for the long-term tight end position, I think that's probably the biggest question mark. If you look ahead kind of next season, you're going to return a good amount of the offensive line. You know, you probably lose Newell and maybe Schweiger, we'll see. But I think tight end position is really intriguing. Obviously, Easton Dean is someone that the coaching staff has talked a lot about. Deshaun Hanukkah is another person the coaching staff has talked a lot about. But it's going to be kind of the unproven part of the offense next year, because you've got Jairo Brock, who had a strong fall camp and we know a little bit about, and plus some of those younger running backs. But yeah, tight end, not a lot of proven commodities. And for what Iowa State has done in recent years with Kolar and Allen being one of these kind of tight end dominant offenses sometimes, really interesting to see how kind of Iowa State pivots, because that's what this coaching staff has done. They've kind of built the offense around the players they have, and next year tight end is going to be one of those positions that's just a question mark.
Yeah, Jalen Noll looks to me by far and away the best skill player. Anyway, you know what? Let me ask you, does Campbell or will Campbell be asked tomorrow? Maybe it was after the post game. I thought he made a mistake spiking the ball on that final drive, the final possession. I think there was 35 seconds on the clock. They spiked the ball, obviously, instead of four plays. Now you're down to three. As it turned out, there was a couple of incompletions. And then, you know, Purdy was under pressure and threw the ball up, and the ball was picked off. I think he was Chase Allen, who he was trying to hit and overthrew. Spike the ball. I didn't like it at that time, Michael. What was your thought on it?
If I'm being honest, I don't mind it. And for me, I think about it more from an offensive line perspective. You know, those guys have been running around all day chasing the Oklahoma defensive linemen. And I think the last thing you want to do is go hurry up, not give those offensive linemen a chance to get their breath, and then have Purdy run for his life again. And granted, Purdy was running for his life all game, and maybe the extra 15 seconds there, 30 seconds, didn't matter a whole lot. But I do understand the perspective of wanting to spike the ball there, stop the clock. And of course, you know, if it works out, you know, you don't really look at it. And of course, if it doesn't work out like it didn't, then you are going to look at it. But I think from my perspective, I'm kind of okay with it, just trying to get those offensive linemen just a little bit of rest, because they certainly needed it.
No doubt. Well, over to little basketballs. We're running short on time, as seems always the case on Mondays. We'll get through college football. It'll be a little bit better going forward with you, Michael. Win yesterday against Southern. Shot the ball incredibly well. Jazz, he was knocking down shots from all over the place. That little push shot looked absolutely beautiful. Takeaway here to this undefeated start for Iowa State, obviously gets much tougher coming up this week.
Yeah, and I think this is a big week, kind of a litmus test for Iowa State now. They've had a really good start. They've played their style of basketball, I think, kind of every game so far. The improvement of Tyrese Hunter has been really fantastic to watch. And I think we're looking kind of what I'll be looking for, at least kind of getting this Xavier game this week and then whoever they play after that, is how do the big men look? Because that's kind of been the position that Iowa State hasn't gotten a bunch of production from. Obviously, Kuntz went off last night, but you know, Enaruna had a good night last night, but in general, kind of those two and then Robert Jones and Condit haven't been producing consistently, and they're going to have a step up kind of here in competition against Xavier with some decent big men. So that's what I'll be watching for, but I think you got to be super pleased with the way Iowa State has played early on. They've played their style of basketball, and they certainly have the identity, which maybe lacked at times last year. So I think overall, super positive start, but I'm personally super excited to see how the team looks on Wednesday.
Yeah, they've already doubled their win total from last year, which is remarkable when you think about it. Michael Swain, 24/7 SportsCycloneAlert.com. Michael, as Trent said, once we get through football, and sadly we are almost at the end of football college-wise, our time clock will open up significantly. Michael, thank you for what you do. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank you, Michael Swain.
No, thanks. You guys, too. Have a good rest of your week.
Appreciate it. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports. Mr. Monday Night next. It's 11:45 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Sports Station, KXNO.
This Thanksgiving, be thankful for free bets. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer that you can't miss. New customers, just bet $1 on any Thanksgiving game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point.
And all DraftKings customers can also get in on the game with their same game parlays, an offer that's sweeter than grandma's pumpkin pie. For the Thanksgiving games, all customers get a risk-free bet up to $25 if your same game parlay doesn't win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
I love pumpkin pie.
I can't stand it. Never
what?
Could. Download the DraftKings. That's not part of the script. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now, use the promo code KXNO. Just bet $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game to win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code KXNO. This Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. You must be 21. Iowa only, new customers only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call
1-KXNO.
The Chicken Coop is the place for great food and wings with three metro locations. The Chicken Coop has the best, fresh, never frozen wings, buffalo, garlic jalapeno, buck nasty, tropical heat, pepper teriyaki, garlic parmesan, and so much more. Along with steaks, burgers, ribs, and a children's menu for the little ones. And don't forget about the Chicken Coop's daily lunch and drink specials. Catch all the games at the Chicken Coop in Ankeny, Urbandale,
and 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, Miller and Condon, final couple of minutes here on a Monday. Murph and Andy in at 1, the Fanatics at 3. Wonder if we'll have coaches' shows tonight. Is that on the schedule?
Look.
Do you know? 6:30 if it is with the coaches, Iowa State, DJ Otzelberger.
Got women's basketball
on
here tonight.
The answer would be no.
Looking through the schedule this week, Wolves, more women's basketball. Don't see anything there. Might be a week off with the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it probably is because a short week football-wise. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the men are headed to Brooklyn.
Yes, yeah.
Brooklyn, gotcha. Got and Xavier. Chris is going, right?
He is, yeah. Jack Nungy and the Musketeers.
Nungy had a big game the other day.
If Nungy was on this Iowa basketball
team.
Oh,
what a different team.
They'd be an NCAA tournament.
They're
team.
A different team. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And probably would have scheduled differently, too.
God, it's been abysmal, hasn't it?
We got another one of them tonight.
Big Ten Network?
It is, BTN against Western Michigan.
Well, I guess I'll dip in for a list. I got the Jets and the Penguins.
Your Jets are playing good hockey?
They are. I don't want to say it.
But you think you got a jinx over there?
Well, you've seen my picks, have
well,
you not?
Well, that's true.
Speaking of picks, it's time for Mr. Monday Night. Circus Sports sponsors Mr. Monday Night. The Buccaneers are a 12-point favorite over those Giants, Mr. Monday Night.
Mr. Monday Night's ready for a banger tonight, and Mr. Monday Night loves the points.
Attaboy.
Except he made me nervous because Mr. Monday Night's close personal friend, Ken Miller.
Who stinks.
He also likes the Buccaneers. The Giants getting the points tonight. Scared me off for a moment, but yeah, we're going to go get the points tonight. But college basketball today, it's already started. And there are, during Feast Week, as they call it, dubbed on ESPN. So I was going through today. I'm making my picks. Knew I had to get started early because some of the games are, in fact, already happening right now. I got Duquesne laying a point and a half against Bradley coming up in just 5 minutes. So I was going through, and then I looked at the end. I have 14 picks today.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I might have to pare that down just a little bit before I officially get them in for the rest of the slate. But got Maui starting today, Wisconsin against Texas A&M.
The Maui tournament's in Vegas?
Yeah.
How about that?
I love seeing the old gym. Or is it this year?
I think, didn't my
I know Chaminade is still part of the field.
I think it's in Vegas.
But they moved it, yeah.
I think it's in Vegas.
And when I was out there in August, drove by that, I'm like, that's where they play? The Maui Invitational, and that thing, it looks like a crappy rec center.
Well, does it really?
It's a crappy rec center. That's what it is.
Right.
And they play the biggest names in college basketball come there.
I love that
year after
normally.
Year.
It is a rite of the end of, you know, it's kind of the transition from college football to college basketball, although it's been underway. I get it. Anyways, we're out of time. Well, Mr. Monday Night and I are on the same side. Yeesh. It's now 11 at Circa. Tampa Bay an 11-point favorite. We will be back tomorrow. Going to switch some things up. Cappy's going to join us tomorrow at 11:05 instead of Wednesday for you Bears and Chicago sports fans. We're Miller and Condon weekdays from 10 until noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.